Today's scripture will be coming from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, for whom every family in heaven and on earth deserves its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you will bring rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measurement of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or image, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Morning. I'm sure y'all are disappointed that Mark's not back up here this Sunday. Y'all have to put up with me. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 3 this morning, and it is a wonderful chapter. I mean, it is really got some wonderful things in it. So, and especially that latter half as we go along. But before we dive into it, let's have our prayer together. Father, we are so very grateful for all that you've done for us, the gift of this day, the love you've shown us through your Son. And we know, Father, that you have provided for us with your word, and that we can grow in our understanding and knowledge of you and all that you desire. And so we ask, Father, that you'll help us to do just that, that we can send roots down deep within to your word, that we will find all the nourishment and the strength that we can gather there, that our faith will grow, and that as we learn more about who you are and all that you've done for us, that we'll grow in our love for you, and that we will trust you more deeply in all things. We're amazed, Father, by how you have loved us so deeply, and that you've given us this path back to you to get back home through Jesus. Help us, Father, as we live today. Help us to encourage each other as we look forward to that day that we'll be together before your throne. It's through Jesus we pray. Amen. You know, one of the best places to be when you're in a line like this, do you know what the best place is? In the front, next. Any line, next is the best place to be, because when you're in the front of a line of cars, you can kind of put up with waiting at the light because you know, what do you know? You're getting through. You're next. You can watch everything else going on, and it's just a nice place to be. But if you're back this far, I don't know if you can see where the light is down there, but if you're back this far, you know what you're thinking. Man, how many times am I going to have to sit here? This may take a while because you never know what the people up front are going to be. And you know it's not guaranteed that you're going to get through this light very quickly. The thing about lines like this is that life is sometimes like that. We've got folks that have a place in life that it just seems like everything has come together for them in life and it just works out for them. They started out next. They ended up having everything they ever needed and more than you could have ever imagined in their opportunities and everything that lays out. And when you're at the back of the line, you go, man, it would have been nice to grow up like that. When you look at just life in general, there's so many. When you have the right place, when you have the right people around you, it just feels like it all worked out for you. But then when you're way back, how do you get there? spiritually, it can be the same way. Spiritually, you know, when you're at the front of the line, when you've learned, when you know who God is and what it's about, when you've learned about Jesus from the time that you could say your first word all the way up, and it just feels natural, everything that you do, you've watched people pray for a lifetime, you've learned from their examples, you've seen all kinds of things around you, just like, this is the way it ought to be. But when you start at the back of the line where you had no idea about any of those kind of things, sometimes you start to wonder, is there any hope for me down the Is there any hope for me to get through it all? Because I see everything they know. I see everything that they have. And it's like, I'm not that. Paul in Ephesians chapter 3 addresses this specifically. He starts out, it's almost like he gets distracted. You know, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. And you expect him to go on to something else after that. But then he goes on and says, oh, wait a minute. Now, surely you've heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I've already written briefly. It's almost like, now you know what God lined up for me, right? You know why I've been sent to you. You know what this is all about. Well, let me tell you so you don't get too distracted that you don't see what it is. And for Paul, in a sense, I think you can hear in his voice, even though it's in this text, it's easy to hear him thinking this and saying this. Do you know what I get to do? The excitement of his role that's been given to him by God. I get to tell people what they don't know so that then they can know what God has in mind for them. Best thing ever to lay that out for them. And so he starts saying, now this idea of mystery, when he uses that word mystery, he's not talking about something that's top secret and, okay, now if you come in and become part of the club, we can tell you the secret. It's not that. Mystery is something that wasn't known before, was hidden before, but now it's like, it's an unexpected surprise. I guess surprise is unexpected. That's why it's a surprise. It's a surprise. It lays out. It's like, oh, that's what it's all about. Wow. It didn't change what is, but you get to see what is. So he says this, in reading this, to know about this mystery, then you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. In other words, this isn't something that you can't figure out. It's not something that you can't understand. It's something that Paul says, you can know. Like I know, you can know this, which is not made known to people in other generations. That's why it's a mystery. It was something hidden before, but now it's been laid out and it's available for all of us. It says, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise of Christ Jesus. He says, this is what this is all about. Not a secret. It's just something that people didn't see coming. That we were surprised by it. You know, it's like this. Talking about lines. Have you all ever been to the grocery store? You're way back in the line. You see up there the poor four folks working the register or just doing as best they can, but you know that the four people ahead of you have baskets packed up full, and you're going, this is going to be a while. And then somebody comes up to you and says, we're opening this aisle over here. Come on over. How does that feels pretty good, doesn't it? And this is what Paul talks about, is that idea that this what God has given through Christ is something that's not just something there for the folks at the front of the line. It's something for all of us. That we now have become, it's not something out of our reach, but something now that all of us are able to grab a hold of. It says, in reading this, then you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. It's there for us to grab a hold of, that we can gain. No matter where we are, no matter where we've come from, no matter what's going on in our lives, now we have this hope. We have this possibility for us because of what God has done through Jesus Christ. And so in that's the unexpected part of it. When you don't think that God's grace is for you, Paul said, he comes along and says, this is for you. You may not have grown up at the front of the line, but this is for you. You may not have known, you may not have understood, you may not have had no idea what God was all about, but now God says, this is for you. It's what he has intended all along. And that purpose, that intent that God has is really what this is based on. Because it's so easy for us to start thinking the only way I can get ahead in life in any possibility is based upon what I can accomplish or what's given to me by those around me, as opposed to what God is doing for every one of us. And so in verse 7, he continues his theme. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. In other words, Paul is saying, you know, the reason I get to do what I do? God put me here. I didn't deserve any of this. Because he says, although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people. He says, I'm not doing this because I'm something special. It's God that did this. This grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God and who created all things. Now, you have to remember, when he talks about Gentiles, he's talking about folks who didn't grow up learning and understanding God at all. They didn't have it. They didn't know anything about God's Word. They didn't know anything about God. They had no idea. And so Paul says, I get to tell people who didn't know anything about God what God has provided for them in Jesus Christ. No matter where they were. And the folks at the front of the line may felt like we've got it all covered. He says, we're all in the same boat. Let me give you a couple other translations through all this. Though I am the least deserving of all of God's people, he graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures available to them in Christ. I like how that was worded, that those treasures. You may have felt like you were the poorest person spiritually that ever existed in this world, and Paul comes along and says, let me tell you the treasure that's available for you. What God has done for you. Eugene Peterson said, this is my life work. Helping people understand and respond to this message. It came as a sheer gift to me, a real surprise. God handling all the details. When it came to presenting the message to people who had no background in God's way, that's that idea of Gentiles, I was the least qualified of any of the available Christians. God saw to it that I was equipped, but you can be sure that it had nothing to do with my natural abilities. You hear what he says in there? He says, this wasn't about me. I don't have anything special about me to tell. It's what God is doing. And what God has done is it's taken everybody, no matter where we've come from, and opened up this door, this intent that God has said, I want you home. That now, because of what God, I stopped too soon. And so here I am preaching and writing about things that are way over my head. The inexhaustible riches and generosity of Christ. My task is to bring out in the open and make plain what God, who created all this in the first place, has been doing in secret and behind the scenes all along. God has been thinking about every one of us, each of you, all along. And it has opened up this door of opportunity for each one of us. Verse 10 and 11. His intent, God's purpose, was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. When we read this, we have to see God's intent when he gets through in our lives, whereas we would go, wow. The people who know us would go, wow. What God has done. Look at what God has done in our lives. I didn't deserve any of that, but look what he's done in us. It's to have that kind of response. Message says, through Christians like yourselves gathered in churches, this extraordinary plan of God is becoming known and talked about even among angels in heavenly places. Can you imagine what God has done where he could have angels going, wow. I mean, they've seen what we've never seen, and that God would do this on behalf of us is just amazing to them in that same sense. And for us to be able to look at what God has done for us ought to leave us speechless in what God is doing in us. So in verse 12 and 13, in him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. We almost need to read that verse again, don't we? Because sometimes we drop off that last part in our mind. It says, in him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. How many times have we held on to the fear that God would not want us at all, even though we've been told that in Christ we're forgiven, even though we are told that in Christ we are His, even though we've been told in Christ that God is our Father, we are His children. And we wrestle with that. And here He says, no, that in Him we can approach Him with freedom, with confidence, knowing what He has done for us and what He sees in us. He says, I ask you therefore not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. He says, don't look at what's going on in me. Realize what God is doing and all that goes on. The NLT says in verse 12, because of Christ and our faith in Him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence to come home. You know, we went to Beth's mom's house over Thanksgiving. And I wake up before everybody else. And I go into the kitchen. And I open up the refrigerator without even thinking, should I ask Sue whether or not I'm allowed to do this? I don't have to wonder. I get to be home in her house. And God has done the same thing for us. He's brought us home. That in Christ, we are home. It's not to be a place of fear and doubt. It is a place where we know, look at what God has done for us. How He's forgiven us, how He's provided for us. His intent has always been for us to come home, to be with Him. Now, when you think about that, when you think about living based upon what God has done, see, this is the life that we have now in Christ. This is now. This is not, oh, one day when we get to heaven, this is what we'll be. This is a present tense. You are God's child in Christ. When we put on Christ, we are His. And to live out this life today, we live that way. Not thinking, well, one day I'll be able to. It's like, today I am God's. And that Paul gets back to a familiar theme. We've already had this a couple times in this letter. Now he does it again. He says, you know, when I pray for you, and so here, what would you pray for somebody who God has taken all of their sins away? What would you pray for somebody where God says, you are mine? What would you pray for somebody that now can be confident in going before God? What is our prayer? What is it that we need in this life now that we've gained what God has given us? And this desire He has for Him. And I think that's part of it. And this life that we could have never imagined, that God has brought me home. What do we need today to help us to live out this life? Paul says, one thing, to be empowered with inner strength by the Spirit. The temptation, I think, for many of us is that when we pray, when we ask God to fix all the things out there. You know, I'm going to keep going back to that traffic light. Do you know what would make things life a whole lot easier when you're sitting in a long line of cars at a traffic light and you've got a bunch of folks up in front of you? Do you know what would make life easy? If all those folks paid attention and went when the light turned green, right? And so my prayer, Lord, get those people to pay attention because my life is hard when they don't. That's not what he prays, is it? He doesn't pray, fix all those other people so my life will be easier. He says, what you need, the reason I kneel before the Father from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. If I'm sitting at a traffic light way back in the line, what's going to get me through that time isn't to fix all those other people, is to make sure that I've got what I need right here within my heart. When I'm living, no matter what's going on, when I go through my life, what helps me get through every circumstance isn't to fix every circumstance around me so that it's all perfect and good. It's, Lord, I need what only You can give me right here in my heart. To have that strength, to have that trust, to to know that no matter what the circumstances are, God is faithful. And I can lean on Him and trust Him to get there, that He will give us that strength to not to changing the outside, but to change what's going on the inside. So we'll hold on to Him, whatever. The second thing he prays is that we would grasp more fully how we are loved. That's an understatement in how he describes that. He says, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people. Now, if I stop there, he talks like that sounds like more power. But the power is to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. It changes us when we come to understand more fully how much we are loved. It changes us. And we can say, yeah, I know God loves me, but he's got to love everybody. Oh, we just missed it. He says, oh, I want you to really understand. If you can grasp how deep God's love is for you. And the thing is how well does God know you? He knows every time you've misstepped all through your life. He knows what you struggle with. He knows what you do well. He knows your challenges. He knows everything in and out of you. And he still says, oh, you are loved. And if we can understand how deeply that love is, I think, you know, we will argue with God over if we're lovable or not, as opposed to, oh, I want to know. I've got to understand it. In that, it'll make a difference. Eugene Peterson says it this way. I ask him that with both feet planted firmly on love, you'll be able to take in with all Christians the extravagant dimensions of Christ's love. Reach out and experience the breadth. Test its length. Plumb the depths, rise to the heights, live full lives, full in the fullness of God. Doesn't that break y'all's heart? But you, when we see that, to know how deeply, to know that there's no doubt, there's God's love is so much greater than we could have ever imagined. Even when we're having a hard time, we're still loved. Now he could be confident in this prayer. Because when he goes to God and says, Lord, you know, what I want for them is for them to have the strength that they need in their inner being. Lord, what I want for them is that they would understand how much you love them and how great that love is. And he turns around and gives us this reminder in verse 20. To him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. I'm going to back up with that. Oh, there it is. When we look at that picture right there, is to realize maybe it's just me and the frog in my pocket. We tend to argue with God about whether he is able to do something in our lives or not. Lord, I have made such a mess. There's no way you can. No, Lord, and Paul turns around and says, look, we're the ones arguing with God about what he can do. God can do what we can't even imagine. Trust him. Hold on to him. This is the power that's working in us to change our hearts and our lives. And who we, everything about us, to work within us, to get us to where we can be because of what God is able to do. And in all of this, when we come to the end of it, here again, he's going to say, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Where we look at ourselves and go, oh, God is so good. I can't believe how He's made such a difference in me. We look at each other and we go, my goodness. Could you even imagine what God has been able to accomplish in each one of us? To be in awe of what God can do in our lives. And we may be sitting in a time, in a moment where we're going, I don't know if I... And it's like, look, He knows where you are today. God is able. And we need to trust Him. Let's go back to our line of traffic. I told you I keep going back to that, didn't I? In our line of traffic, do you know when you're at the front of the line what you can do? Whatever you want. Because you know you're getting through this light. So if you want to pray to your phone for a little bit, oh, if you want to check your email or your text messages, or if you want to kind of look away, if you want to call somebody and talk for a little bit, you don't have to worry about it, because all you have to do is look up in time and go, oh, it's been green, I can go now. And you feel pretty good about yourself, because you don't have to worry about rushing at all. You can just, you're there. Do you know what the people at the back of the line are going? They're the ones hollering. Move! Let's go! Well, because my hope to get through this light depends on everybody in front of me. So I get impatient. Get frustrated. Because of all those other folks that are like, come on. I am never going to get there. We get comfortable sometimes where we are in life, thinking I've got it okay. But the truth is, in life, all of us have hope only in one way. My hope, even if I've been given a head start because of my raising, my hope, even if everything has come together just right for me and I know God and I've learned so much, saying my hope, no matter where I've come from, no matter what's gone on in the past, always and always will ever be Christ Jesus. Always. My hope, even if I have the worst background we could ever talk about, my hope is Christ. And that's how I'm going to get where I need to be. Paul would say, God is able. Trust Him. And today, you can do that. You've waited and today and need to take that step to put your faith in Christ, to be buried with Him in baptism, to become His. You can do that today. Or maybe as a child of God, you found yourself either becoming a little bit too, having too much pride in what you feel about yourself, to forget how you've gotten where you are. Or maybe you struggle because you doubt about what can be because of what's going on in your life. God is there for all of us. We can pray with you and for you if you need that. If you need to respond, would you come as we stand and sing?